This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What you are doing right now is a rebellion in a sense.
I had a really sheltered, homeschooled childhood where I wasn't allowed to be on the internet at all.
How religious was your family?
Probably like as religious as you can be.
Was there a turning point?
These are not the interview questions I was prepared for.
Chad, a meme-driven commentary YouTuber whose channel has skyrocketed in just 2 short years. Today we'll find out how her immensely strict religious upbringing turned her into a master of breaking down cringe content and why she's received so much harassment from the alpha male community. I'm Anthony Padilla, and I spent today with Chad to find out. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit betterhelp.com/Padilla because sometimes existing is exhausting. Hello, Chad.
Hi.
The Chad X2.
That's the Chads. Me.
I was trying to find your earliest videos. I was like, I should make sure I could go all the way back, like learn from the beginning what it was like when you're creating your first videos. And I was like, why do I only get videos that are 2 years old? There's obviously more than this. The videos that you make feel so polished and well-made, and the time, everything just feels right. I'm like, there's certainly years and years of practice that you just like deleted your history.
Right.
But you literally only started like 2 years ago?
Has it been 2 years? I think it was February of 2021.
Happy third year. All the other creators that I talked to, for the most part, they had like, you know, 5 years that they were trying this like sketch channel when they were 12. And then they had like 5 years that they tried this vlogging channel.
Yeah.
But literally this was just your first go and it was successful?
Yeah, kinda. I started in commentary and I mean, I'm still in commentary. So it was the first one. But yeah, I do know a lot of people where they have like a gaming channel from 6 years ago.
Yeah, that they privated and
I don't have a hidden gaming channel or anything.
I was like
that.
You're trying to be so mysterious, you deleted and privated all your old stuff.
Yeah, I'm like hiding a secret identity.
And that's why you chose ChatChat.
Yeah.
Can't trace it.
You can't.
Mm-mm.
Nobody knows.
And now you have over 200 million views in just 3 years.
Is it 200? I haven't checked.
That's the stat
that's
saw.
That's a cool number.
That's a lot. You don't like keep up with like
the
success.
I don't look at numbers.
I think that's good though, because it can get in your head.
I used to do the whole like uploading and then immediately as soon as you can, you check the ranking. You're like, this is a 1 out of 10 or it's a 5 out of 10. Yeah. I used to do all of that.
I just looked at Jarvis and he was like, okay, after 30 minutes, that's when your ranking comes up. And after 2 hours, that's when
No. I don't do any of that anymore. And I'll read comments a little bit after I upload a video just to make sure that I didn't, like my address isn't somewhere in the video or like I have a nipple out somewhere or something. I just to make sure like a few hours afterwards. And then after that, I just kind of hands off.
So there was a time though where you were like,
yeah.
Like, this is a game.
It's like the serotonin, the dopamine kind of looking at the numbers go up. I think it did seem like more of a game at that point. Just, I used to read all the comments, but you only remember the negative ones.
Yeah, and it's usually the one that points out something that's like a slight insecurity that you think
no one can see. It's something that you're already sore about and they're just like, kind
they
of poking
it,
at it.
And you're like, oh, it's not as hidden as I thought.
Yeah. It's not good. Like I know I have so many supportive people and so many supportive comments, but if I do that for a couple hours, I'm only gonna feel bad about those, the few and far in between negative ones that I saw.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't beneficial. I can't even watch my old videos though. I can't look at them, not even comments, just my old videos in general. I can't look at them because I feel like I'll end up deleting them after cringing at myself. I like to think that my videos have gotten better. I don't know. I just find so many things to poke holes into or criticize myself for.
Do you feel like you're overly critical about yourself and what you produce?
I think so, yeah. But especially just, I had no idea what I was doing back then and my lighting is all messed up. I didn't have a microphone and I actually got bullied by someone when I had 20 subscribers for my audio quality. So I think that made me hyper aware of my setup at that point.
Is that when you became so critical of your
Definitely not. No.
Yeah, yeah. That came beforehand, right?
I was born with that, yeah. No, I just think I was like, okay, well, maybe it was spite. I don't know. It was just like, okay, well, I'll get a better mic then.
Yeah. I mean, you've certainly refined your style. It feels like you've refined every element of what you do. Like, I can see the blueprint there for everything that you do. And it feels like you've just been continuing to one-up yourself in every area. You know, it feels like such a bigger production. Are you doing that all on your own?
For the most part, yeah. I do, like, the research and the writing. This year, I've been trying to send more of those roles to other people. But it has largely been, I mean, for most of my career, it's just been me writing and researching and finding the topics and then filming and then editing. I have been trying to find a consistent editor as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing all of that for a long while, and now I'm trying to expand more. But I do have like a little bit of a perfectionist kind of mindset where, I don't know, the timing just needs to be right. It has to be at a point where it just feels right. The video just has to feel like it flows perfectly.
And that's just a feeling.
It is just a feeling. Yeah. And it's like, if it's not right, sometimes I won't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But I'll just know like something is off here. It's really just, it's just vibes.
Since it's been 3 years, do you feel like there's a life before and a life after being a content creator?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I was 3.5 years ago, I was working in a call center, which is definitely a completely different plane of existence.
Call center for what?
It was a billing company specifically for dentists and orthodontists. And people love when you're handling their money on a monthly basis, and they never get mad about it when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really fun job.
Just getting to know them.
Just getting to
bonding.
Know them, their finances, and all. So fun.
They love people with that they can't put a face to talking to them about their finances.
Yeah, it makes them feel closer to you that they can't
and
see your face.
They like to show you lots of respect, I'm sure.
The utmost.
Mm-hmm.
They never call you names or like threaten to find your home.
To dox you. But some would say if that did happen, you might be more prepared for internet culture and comments.
I was training.
You were training the whole time?
I was in training.
Yeah.
Content creation.
Pretty much the same thing. I'd say that one's more immersive, though. That's the more immersive experience.
You should try it sometime.
I'll try it sometime.
That's fun.
Yeah, I've been just living in this weird YouTube space for 18 years, and I think it's time.
Rock the boat a little bit.
It's time that
they will rock you.
Yeah. Okay.
You should do it.
All right.
No.
I'm not ready.
Okay.
But I will
you
do
aren't.
It anyway.
No.
You can't ever be ready until you're in it.
You have to experience it firsthand. No.
If this video gets 100,000 likes.
No, I have like an English writing minor. So I did write essays in college, but nothing to do with, it was all very serious stuff.
Were you deeply ingrained in internet culture though? Because it feels like what you do is so, I mean, it's talking about whatever is the most popular thing at the moment or what you deem as the most interesting thing going on.
I wasn't always. I was after a certain period, because I had a really sheltered, homeschooled childhood where I wasn't allowed to be on the internet at all. Media was kind of off limits as
all
a
media.
Whole for the most part. Yeah, sometimes I wasn't allowed to, like at some point I was only allowed to watch one movie per week kind of deal. It's just like very restricted.
I would choose Home Alone, personally.
I wasn't allowed to see that.
Well, you weren't allowed to see that one?
No.
Too violent?
I think there's people on fire in there.
Yeah, there's people on fire. There's a staple straight into the wiener.
There's
lots of fun. Bricks to the head.
No, I wasn't allowed to see that. No.
You're missing.
I know, I am. But yeah. It was just, everything was just like restricted to the point that maybe it was kind of a rebellion to be on the internet at all. And so whenever I watched YouTuber was involved in internet culture at all, that in and of itself was like a rebellious kind of thing.
Were you having to hide your...
It's like a secret, yeah. I remember I would like get on my dad's computer and watch out of the corner of my eye to make sure nobody was coming, which is usually what you do when you're like watching porn or doing something
you're
not
like closing
to
the
you're,
window
like,
really quick.
Shut. But no, I was just watching like music videos on YouTube.
Yeah. And what is the reasoning? Just like that they're like, no music? No, this is like gonna corrupt you?
I think it was, you're gonna get corrupted. It's just like anything that's secular kind of, because my parents were so religious and strict in that way that anything that isn't J103 or I can't remember with the Christian.
You're doing the pose right now. You're praying right now.
I don't know what.
Come
the
to me.
Movie
Tell me what
is.
The station Tell was. Me.
It's not coming. I don't remember what it's called. Mm. But it's like anything that doesn't come from there is too secular, gonna corrupt you, not allowed.
Not approved by God.
No, that's Satan.
Approved by Satan, not good.
That is approved by Satan.
do you? It seems so. What you were doing right now is a rebellion in a sense.
Kind of, yeah. I don't think that's what my mom would have wanted me to do if she had a choice.
Would she watch something like this, or is she not?
She is probably gonna watch this. Oh, hi, Mom.
Cool. So.
I can't talk about her very much.
Okay. So. Gotcha.
She'll get mad at me.
Okay.
She'll take my phone away.
Yeah. Should I set up a thing so that if it detects your mom watching it, it boots her out?
Like Face ID?
Yeah, Face ID.
Yes, please.
Okay. We totally got that set up.
So
you can say whatever you want.
Because I say bad words and I talk about people. Sometimes they dance in a weird way. And I say the F word sometimes.
Sometimes you even recreate some dancing moments.
Sometimes I dance and I do that. I wasn't even allowed to say fart growing up.
That's the other F word.
That is the F word. You're not supposed to say that one.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed to say anything. I don't think I was allowed to say heck. What the heck?
Because
they're pretend cuss words, so you might as well say the real thing. Mm. But if you say the real thing,
then you're going.
My mom will kill me. You are going to heck. H-E double hockey sticks. I've heard people say that one.
Did you say that?
I've never said that. I would never say that.
That's crossing the line, right?
I did just say it, but I would never say it.
Oh, you would never say it again.
Point.
Yeah, this is the first and last time.
I'm never saying it.
I'm glad
it
we caught
again.
That on camera, though. You never
Mom,
need to say
I would
it.
Never say H-E double hockey stick. I said it again, but it's okay.
That's true. But she's already kicked out of the video anyway because the Face ID blocked her.
You guys did say you would do that. You promised.
I promised. I didn't pinky promise, but I did promise. So, all right. I can't.
This shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, okay. Oh, we got cool. The tech for that. We got
Thank
it.
Pinky promise.
You have my word.
Can't go back now.
No mothers are watching, especially not yours. So you can say H-E double hockey sticks all you want. You can say fart even.
I could, as long as your Face ID things. I can say fart.
You can say fart now, yeah. Was that a big moment?
Fart it.
Was that a big moment was there a turning point when you were like, you know, I am the type of person that can say fart. Was there a turning point?
These are not the interview questions I was prepared for. When did I realize I could say fart? Probably college.
Did you have a realization moment?
I practiced in the mirror before. That's good.
Out of the corner of your eye. No mom's heart. Did it feel good to say
I didn't want to interrupt you doing that.
I know. Sorry, I was really in the zone.
It's like you were a fly on the wall. That's exactly how it went down.
I had a hunch.
I mean, some people were partying in college. I was practicing fart in the mirror like that every night.
You can do it. You can do it, Jack.
Just veins popping out of my neck.
Fart. Oh, God, a real one. So was there a turning point, though, when you realized, yeah, you could be a little bit rebellious?
I did realize it more in college, but I would say YouTube is definitely, because at first I didn't want to say those things, but I also kept YouTube a secret from my mom for a really long time, so it didn't matter. It was like a character, it's like an alter ego. It's where I can say fart on the channel.
Because it's your alter
ego. Not in
ego.
Real life, but I can say it on the channel, so I can do whatever I want here.
So did Chad kind of feel like a different person than you?
I don't know. I think because I was homeschooled, it feels like I missed out on the finding yourself like teenage years, like coming of age kind of thing. I think that is something that I missed out on just because of the way I was brought up. So Chad does feel like in some ways just me figuring it out from like the things I'm talking about and the way I'm saying things, like saying fart or whatever I want to say. And that's when I was kind of living out of the house for the first time also. So I was getting piercings and experimenting with my hair, which is why I had green and blue hair at the beginning with those wigs, and I had a buzz cut. So yeah, it was like a version
of me. It was your room springer.
It was just like my chance to have that experience, I guess.
So you have a series that you now do called A Twinge of Cringe. I think it's so interesting how the word cringe, things being cringy, like it means something that you want to reel back from, reel away from, but yet it is so engaging. The internet as a whole loves consuming cringe content. Maybe it's changed a little bit, but I feel like as a whole, people are like, they lean in when they see cringe, which is the opposite of what cringe makes.
It's like you can't look away kind of thing.
It's like people want to see the thing that they know will give them a reaction.
I don't know. I don't know why people do that. It to me, it feels like people prefer it over things that they like in a lot of cases.
Actually, I would say that it is now, to many people, cringy.
To like things.
To like things.
Yeah. I'd say that's pretty true.
I just don't know when that happened, you know? It's like, ew, you're so into that thing. That's cringy. It's like you are a certain age, so you should not, like, you should be thinking about the way you're perceived more. You should be thinking about yourself from the third person.
You should be viewing yourself from an outside point. I don't know. It's like you're not just being critical of yourself. You're being critical of yourself and being critical of yourself on behalf of endless amounts of people, because there's billions of people on the internet, hundreds of millions, I don't know.
How do you decide what type of content to create these commentary videos about? Because you have a range, you know, sometimes it'll be something super harmless. It's like, oh, fairy talk, people are into fairies. And then it's like legitimately dangerous stuff. Alpha male podcasts just spreading very misogynistic, horrible messages.
Yeah.
Is there a balance? Because I feel like doing the really dangerous stuff all the time could take a toll.
It does take a toll. Yeah, like the Alpha podcasts and that kind of genre of video, those are very, they have to be scripted, because if I were to just sit down and react to them firsthand, I feel like it would be too much, or your thoughts are too jumbled because you're too upset or annoyed by whatever's being said to have a cohesive line of thought to actually say on camera. So those do feel very stressful and like intense, because you have to think for so long or watch the clips for a certain amount of time until you get to the point where you're level-headed enough to make some kind of script or something you can follow along with. Mm-hmm. So those are intensive in that way. But it's really just like the fairy talk and those kinds. It's just whatever seems interesting to me, where it kind of piques my interest a little bit. And if it piques my interest, I'm gonna care enough about it to put in all that effort to make a video about it. Versus the harder, more intense subjects is just like, this is fucking stupid, so I'm gonna talk about that.
Yeah. Is there a threshold that it has to pass in order for you to know this is worthy of creating this video this month? Because it is one video a month for the most part.
I think it has to be something that they're doing consistently. Like if somebody just has a one-off video where they're doing something a little silly, but it's like if somebody has an account dedicated to doing weird or interesting things, then that makes the difference, because you can't really make a video about just a person doing something.
It needs to be a repeated behavior.
Yeah, repeat offender kind of thing.
Exactly, like once, twice, three times.
I'll let it slide.
Sure, but when it's all your TikTok is,
you're getting a twinge of cringe.
I want to know how you find these. You're just scrolling and you find the thing?
Just scroll. I like weird things.
Wait, we have a couple blank TikTok accounts, and we are going to see if we can each find how quickly we can teach the algorithm to find us certain types of things.
Okay. Mine is SlayTalk55.
Mine's SlayTalk44.
Mine's a higher number.
Not saying one's better than the other, but I'm pretty sure it's like par. Nicole has a few topics that we'll be trying to see how quickly we can find it. And while we're doing that, I'll talk to you about what your process is like.
Okay.
What is the first thing that we should be looking for?
This topic is find a video with a dog.
All right, so we're gonna try to find a video of a dog. Is this what your process is like, trying to find some interesting shit to make a video about?
Yes.
You just scroll like this?
I just scroll, and if it's a little funky, I'll interact with it.
So then you interact with it, and what do you do at that point?
You can like, if you save it or heart it.
Oh, so
then
that teaches it what you want.
Or if you go to the profile.
Okay, so I'm hearting this video with this kid walking around with a chicken in his hands. You found a cat? See, that's close, right? So you teach it,
I liked the cat.
Okay.
Because it's an animal.
Oh, it's giving me more chicken now.
What? It heard you.
It heard, I got a guy stealing iPads from this kid loves Taco Bell. Dog!
No way.
Got him.
No way.
Got him.
I got another cat.
You taught it that it went from chickens to chicken breast to dog.
This is fucked up. Hold on.
And I'm going to teach you that I really like dogs. I favorited it, I liked it, and I'm commenting slay.
Wait, I want to comment slay on something.
So it knows I like this shit. And I'm liking my own comment. Like, that's how much I like this.
Oh, dog.
Dog.
I got one.
Dog.
All right, I'm going to like this one, and I'm going to comment slay.
And now the algorithm knows what we like.
The next thing to find is Shrek Talk.
We're gonna find Shrek Talk. Oh, I wonder if this guy dropping Vaseline bottle in hot water is getting me close.
I like the Roblox TikTok because I feel like that'll send me somewhere.
Yeah.
This bird is the same color as Shrek, so I'm gonna like this one.
Forehead
massage. All I'm getting is dogs now.
Oh, I'm getting another dog. It knows I like dogs now.
I'm only getting dogs, cats.
I got another dog. It's nothing but dogs.
That's the same dog.
Oh, I'm getting a pie that's letting off steam out of these holes.
That pie is farting.
Yeah, it did. Watch your mouth, young
lady. I'm sorry, Mom.
Watch it.
This is only animals. Like any type of animal. I have monkeys, seals, dogs, cats.
We fucked up this algorithm.
9-year-old me trying to look like a mermaid.
I got the Charmin bears beating each other up with hammers.
What? Oh my god.
That might be
that's
close.
I think that's gonna send you down the right path.
Oh, green Duolingo bird.
I liked that one.
That's very Shrek-y.
This is really good, guys. I'm so close, I can taste
this
it.
This is what we're doing with our time. Oh, this is Shrek Talk. This is Shrek Talk. I got Lord Farquaad doing a dance. Lord Farquaad dancing.
Oh my God.
I've never felt like more of a hero.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is what I ended up on.
That's okay. That's close. It's a close second. All right. Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? Like you know what you should do or what's good for you, but you just can't seem to do it? Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. As I'm sure many of you know, I've been a huge advocate of therapy since I started going about 6 years ago, and it's helped me in almost every facet of my life. Whether dealing with anxiety or depression or just the day-to-day struggles of being human, therapy has been a guiding light for me. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp might be perfect for you. It's entirely online, and it's designed to work around your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a certified and licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Celebrate the progress that you've already made. Give BetterHelp a try. Visit betterhelp.com/padilla today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/padilla. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, like an apartment that's in your budget but is far away from where you work, or it has really, really thin walls and very loud neighbors. But when it comes to your health, you shouldn't have to compromise on having a doctor that you feel comfortable with just because they're available right now. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who make you feel comfortable and prioritize your health. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. That means no more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. Simply go to ZocDoc, enter your zip code and the type of care that you're looking for, and ZocDoc will provide you with a list of tens of thousands of top-rated, credible doctors and specialists. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual, real patients, and you can filter specifically for the ones who take your insurance. The typical wait time for a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours, and you could even score same-day appointments. So if you're looking to prioritize your health and find a doctor you're comfortable with, go to ZocDoc.com/padilla and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/padilla. ZocDoc.com/padilla. Now back to the world of Chat Chat.
Feels like there is extra scrutiny toward women who make this kind of content than men who break down and, you know, kind of tease these alpha male type.
Yeah. That, I mean, it you've interacted with
some of those.
In my experience, it feels that way. Like the guy that we talked about earlier, like went on that rant, on the 3-minute rant where he was calling me names and ugly. Mm. He's had like male commentary channels talk about him before, and I've never seen him go on a rant, mm-hmm. especially to that degree, or even comment on them. I haven't seen it personally, but it's just like it kind of flies. Certain things seem to fly when you're a male commentary channel under the radar of being just a back and forth. It's just like, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just jokes. It's kind of like, I don't know, like a bro thing, or it's not serious. It seems like a kind of a, it passes under a camaraderie kind of just poking fun at you, mm-hmm. versus if to me it feels like I am ruining their life, or like I'm trying to just make them feel horrible.
It's very personal.
It feels like it's very personal coming from me. Mm-hmm. It feels like that's the way they're taking it. Some dating coach guy I talked about, they'll somehow end up talking about how they're gonna, like, it's really weird. They'll somehow end up talking about how I need to have sex, or like it's, I probably would like going out with them, or it's like somehow it always,
it's like
goes
this weird denial
back to that.
Of like, if they don't like me, it's because they want me.
It's, yeah, it is that. It's like to make it okay in their brains, they try to convince themselves that I am attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if they don't think I'm attracted to them, that's like such an injury. She did it because she's mad, or she did it because she hasn't had sex in recently enough, or she did it because she doesn't have a man in her life. It's
first
just,
thing I do when I don't have sex for a while, I make a video.
Make a video about it takes weeks of work.
Just being very angry about someone.
That is what I do.
But really underneath it all, I just want sex.
I understand it. I mean, that's what's happening with me.
That's why you criticize.
That's why I talk about podcasts and dating advice. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's happened on multiple occasions. That's not just a one-time thing. So that's what it feels like. It's just like a repeated thing. It's just misogyny, basically, is how we can sum it.
You know what? I accept that.
Thank you.
That sounds right. Do you plan on staying in a place like Tennessee? You know, in reality, the internet allows you to create from anywhere. It allows you to be anywhere that you want. Do you think that you'll stay somewhere closer to home?
I don't know. You're right. It is something that I can do anywhere that I am. So sometimes I've thought about living in different places for a little bit of time. I don't know if I would ever end up in LA, because it's very stressful here.
I get it.
You can't drive anywhere.
Really?
I
you
never
have to drive
when I come here.
I
Uber everywhere when I come here, because it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's very stressful here. And it is like a higher, like faster paced. So it is fun, but it is also nice to just go back to Tennessee with the trees and the rocks and kind of relax after that.
Even talking to you, I feel like there is it's less high intensity than I feel like a lot of people who live here are used to being like, okay, get the thing faster, the faster, the fast. Okay, got it. And
it is
a lot more mellow in a sense. Or maybe that's just you. I don't know.
When I come here, it is like everybody's on the go. Everybody has plans to go do something else. And then, I don't know, where I live is just like, hey, do you want to go to Walmart tomorrow? It's like, sure.
It puts more emphasis on nature, family, and friends.
It does, yeah. And out here, it does feel very like work.
Very much. I mean, people, when they meet you, it's not uncommon for the first or second question for them to say, what do you do for a living? How do you make money?
I feel like in Tennessee, it's lower on the list of things you're going to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, I saw your mom, or I know your great aunt.
Yeah.
People will come up to you all the time and be like, I used to change your diapers, and you don't know who they are.
Lots of people change your diapers?
Probably.
Lots of
That's what
diapers.
They tell me. I don't know. I don't remember.
You're like, cool.
It's just like everybody knows each other.
Sounds like your household was really restrictive in a lot of ways. And a lot of that may have came from the religious undertones. How religious was your family?
Probably like as religious as you can be, I would say. They were pretty intense on a lot of those beliefs.
Were there rules that were given to them that they then like passed on to
They did have somebody who was like setting specific rules for households, which are kind of like typical things that you would see. They had a very specific kind of family dynamic you were supposed to have. Like, God is at the head, and then it's the dad, and then it's mom, and then it's the kids. And so it's very, very patriarchal. Yeah, like, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She homeschooled all of us. She never had a job. Their whole belief was that that's what women are supposed to be doing, is just get married and then have kids, and that's it. Like, that's the extent of what you're supposed to do. And I remember there was never any kind of, well, what are you gonna do when you're older? What job do you wanna have? What career do you wanna have? That's not even something that we talked about ever, because it's just the assumption and expectation is that you're gonna get married and you're gonna have kids. I remember, like, being told I wasn't gonna go to college. Like, I wasn't allowed to go to college because I was just gonna get married.
Was that something you wanted?
No. Okay. It was like me being like, well, I kind of want to go to college. This is back when I'm younger, like a teenager, I think. And being told, well, no, you're not going to go to college. You're going to get married. It's just, it was so, they were very set in their ways, to the point that me even considering doing something like going to college was kind of like shocking, like taking them off guard, because that's just not what they expected for me.
Did you doubt any of that? Were you like, that doesn't sound right?
Yeah, I was kind of I was the middle kid. So I think that I just had some rebellion going on from an early point. I was like, well, what if I don't want to do that? Like, what if I don't want to get married and have kids?
Where do you think that second guessing came from? Because a lot of people born in that environment can't even imagine anything else.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. It didn't appeal to me. Like, I remember I needed to get my driver's license, and they were so extreme about these kind of things, to the point that they were like, well, you don't need to get a driver's license. You're a woman and you're just gonna get married and then your husband will drive you around, which is so not how anything works. But that's how they were when I was that age, when I was growing up.
Did you believe that's the way your life would unfold?
No,
I didn't. You knew that you were gonna rebel at some point?
Yeah, I didn't want to do. My oldest sister, she got married very young. So she did follow that expectation. And I remember I would go visit her and like help out with the kids. And I was like, hey, I kind of don't want to have kids. This kind of is really stressful. So maybe it was that. And it was just knowing that I didn't like it. But other than that, I don't know. Like I said, my parents were very much feeding me that and kind of making it seem like I had no other options.
So you doing what you do is the exact opposite of what anyone thought you would be doing.
I think maybe my mom probably knew, just because of how much I was talking back to her, she probably knew. But it's definitely not what I don't think it's what they would have hoped for. Just based on what they were trying to push back onto me.
That for me puts into perspective why you felt so much solace in being in charge of creating.
Yeah, definitely.
And creating your own voice, being able to, you know, refine something and build something to be exactly to your liking, because your whole childhood you were being told that you had to be something else.
Yeah, it's definitely like having a voice at all kind of thing. Mm. I think that I really underestimated when I first started, how much anyone was gonna give a shit about what I had to say. Mm. I think that probably is why, just being raised that way and saying things or asking questions about things and being shut down so frequently, it kind of makes you second guess how much your opinion cares at all. So when I first started, it's very much like, well, nobody's gonna see any of these videos because it doesn't, like, no one cares. And then when things start to pick up, it's like, okay, this is getting real now. So everybody's listening. That was kind of a shock.
Do you feel like your perspective of yourself changed it like drastically at any point, or was it just so gradual?
I think it is gradual, but it is different. Like, it's taken a lot of unlearning just being raised that way. I don't know, it's like confirmation almost.
Confirmation of what?
I had a lot of questions growing up and like feeling myself pushed back on the things I was being told, but you have everybody around you and everybody that I grew up around believe the same things. So it's like hearing all of those opinions and having these questions in my own head and just questioning yourself, kind of, or, you know, how much your opinion matters or how much what you think about yourself matters. And then feeling like it's just kind of just like having no sense of self, I guess, is what the result of all of that is. And so that kind of, it felt like gradually after getting on YouTube and saying things and realizing that people do care, it just creates a space where you can figure those things out.
Yeah, I feel like that would be so overwhelming for me. And you've, it seems like you've, you're like, oh yeah. It seems like you've handled it so well. It'd be so overwhelming to have such a big shift in such a short amount of time.
It was overwhelming. Like I said, I didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely overwhelming when the numbers started picking up. And it's like, okay, well, people are actually listening now. I like it a lot. I like what I do and what I'm making. So it's kind of just more confirmation to keep going.
It's a way for you to express all these parts of you that were oppressed at some point, that you were suppressing at some point. And you use, you wrap it all up with the surface layer looking like it's about a popular internet thing. And you are using that as the way to bring in the audience and to give them a reason to care. But then you are expressing yourself in all these ways through your writing, through your comedic abilities, through your editing, your overall vision for the entire piece, and crafting this thing that allows you to express yourself in a way you weren't able to in the past, just with an element added to it that makes it accessible to a broad audience.
Yeah, I like to say the things that I would have liked to hear when I was growing up in my videos, like especially about the podcast and stuff like that. And so pointing it out and be like, this is crazy, this is ridiculous, it feels like I'm confirming to somebody else, maybe that's having, like growing up similarly, and maybe they're hearing that and they're like, okay, yeah, this is crazy. And this is something I'm seeing in other places. So now this person also thinks that this is this isn't how it should be.
It seems like you specifically lean toward these misogynistic points of view. Is it because you felt that?
Yeah, I think maybe that's why the topic is interesting and why I want to talk about it, because it is something that people are experiencing. And I think it's funny, I'll get comments sometimes that are like, this is on the internet, this isn't really happening in real life, or they're just characters.
Like I wish that were the case.
Yeah, they're like, they don't really believe this, they're just doing it for the internet. And it's like, it doesn't matter, because the people that watch their content do say these things to other people in their life that they have influence on. It still matters to talk about it, even if this individual who's saying these things doesn't believe in them. On the other side of it, there are real people who are hearing these things, and it's confirming what they're thinking and what they're saying every day.
Do you feel like if your younger self would see who you are now and what you're making now, you would have a reaction, or do you think you'd be like, yep, that's right?
Yeah, I just feel like, yeah, that makes sense. No. You make fart jokes on the internet.
Yeah, that makes, of course. I said the F word and I was fine. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think I'd probably be like really scared of my hair and my piercings and everything.
You'd be scared of yourself.
Yeah, I would be a little scared of myself, I think.
Yeah, that person has too much individualism going on here.
Let's calm down a little bit. Let's slow down on the neon wigs maybe for a little bit.
Our next guest that's going to be on the show is Jay Schlatt. Do you have a question that you would like for me to ask Schlatt? I will tell him Chad asked him this.
Ask him, would he rather have unlimited bacon but no games? Or no games and no unlimited bacon?
That's not what it is. That's not what it is. I think it's
Would you rather have unlimited games, but no bacon.
No, doesn't he say unlimited games?
Unlimited games, but no games. Or unlimited bacon, but no bacon.
It's unlimited bacon, but no games, or unlimited bacon, but no games.
Or unlimited bacon, but no games.
Okay, I'll make sure to pass on that question.
Thank you. Let him know.
Yeah, I've been wondering. I think that might give him an existential crisis, but I'll ask him.
Thank you. Pinky promise?
Yeah, I pinky promise.
Thank you.
Tune in next time, because I'll be asking Schlatt that important question.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought completely. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Literally 10 times
I completely lost where I was going. I completely blanked.
No, it's all good. Happens literally every single interview I do with me. Well, where was I getting to? Oh, now I lost it.
It's all good.
both of us. There was an evil spirit that just sucked out our consciousness.
Guys, an evil spirit just sucked us.
It sucked all of me. Never had that happen to me before. Not on camera, at least.